Hey, Gathering, Dave Ramsey here. Listen, we are so excited that you guys are going to be participating not only in the Great Recovery, but engaging the Great Recovery by learning how to handle money God's ways with the Financial Peace University program. We are huge Dave Foster fans around our place, and we are honored that you guys are going to participate with us in this. Hey, engage in it. Bust up into it. Change your life. This stuff works. Thanks again, guys. Congratulations.
Well, I thought that was nice of Dave to do that for the Gathering. He's our friend, and he is someone who I look up to and admire as a brother in Christ. And several weeks ago, actually a month or so ago, Dave began to talk about a vision that he was thinking about, and he called it the Great Recovery. And he has launched a nationwide emphasis, which basically is simple. Let's stop waiting for the government. Let's stop whining about what's going on. And let's be, as Christians, as godly men and women, the change we want to see in our world. Now, why this really captured my imagination? There is one thing I've always grieved over. It is Jesus only, that I can find, only one serious, sincere prayer request for us that we have denied him. It's in John 17. He prays to the Father that we would be one. And we've never, ever given him anything close to that. American Christianity, I'm sad to tell you, is as fragmented as almost any other thing in our society. That must break the heart of God. I know there are differences. I honor those differences. But there are some things that we believe alike. And I've never seen a kind of a big, wide, epic movement. And I think Dave is on to something, and I, for one, and I want us to join him in that. I'm wearing the Great Recovery armband. We're starting this morning a Great Recovery series. And this isn't if you think this is just about money and giving and tithing and all that stuff, then you're thinking way too small. I do not know a person who wouldn't love to have enough money and enough security to give and be generous. Do you? Most of us just simply can't give what we don't have. Some of us are very prosperous and some of us aren't. And all of us can be. We believe that money is a good thing, that money is a God thing, that just like anything, if money becomes a master, it becomes a tyrant. But if it becomes a servant, it becomes a blessing. Duh. So we thought we would just join Dave. You can go to greatrecovery.com, sign up. Not trying to sell you anything, not trying to, you know, force you to do anything. It's just an effort to say, hey, we're going to stop whining and waiting for someone else to do for us what we know God wants to do. So, yeah, amen, 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 amen. And what got me excited, not just, Dave has great ideas, and I listened. Dave's almost always right, except there are some things he's not right about. I've figured out what those things are. But what got me excited is I saw pastors across the country getting excited and joining. When Dave did a launch on this a couple of weeks ago, you can go to thegreatrecovery.com and watch it. There were 10,000, something like 10,000 church pastors online. 50,000 church leaders online that night. That boggles my mind. All across the country. Go to that website and it'll show you all over the country, little dots where people are joining this effort. And I thought, we got to be a part of this. I mean, right in the backyard, and Dave's been so good to us, and we just thought, we need to just launch out. And for these next 6 weeks, I want to talk about, here's what I want to talk about. It's not going to beat you about money. This is the six basic beliefs that can rebuild a nation. Because I don't know about you. Okay, I love this country. Sue me. I love America. I pledge allegiance to the flag. I mean, I have no problem with saying I pledge allegiance to one nation under God. Who knew that would ever become controversial? I never dreamed in my lifetime. Under God? Really? That bugs you? Get a life, dude. Now, I'll be the first one to admit, I don't want anybody to force God on me. Amen? No, I'm not for that at all. Listen, you want to hate God? Just pile up the plate, dude. Just hate God all you want to. But let's be honest. If we don't want God a part of our country, let's don't get freaked out when he don't. Duh. I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer, but even I know that. So, we're going to talk about the six basic beliefs. I want you to know these and breathe these in your life, because literally, I believe they can create true, genuine prosperity for anyone who wants to work them. I'm convinced of that. I have had the privilege to be around a lot of people at various stages of life. I've been around a lot of really wealthy people. I've been around people who have nothing. And here's the difference a lot of times in those two stratas. Some people just are ordinary people who just work at stuff they're called to do with a big, generous heart, and God rewards them. Sorry, I wish it were more sexy than that. It's not. Well, you say, well, what about me? I ain't got nothing. Well, maybe it's because you, are you listening? Have been denied these simple basic beliefs. A lot of us are. I was never taught. I love my mom and dad. Don't get me wrong. My mom and dad fed me. They provided a home for me. They took me to church. I didn't always appreciate it, but yay God, they did. Now, it was a weird church, and I couldn't stand anybody who went there because they're all a bunch of hypocrites. But I was one too. That's why they welcomed me so easily. Can I hear that? So I'm just saying, but my parents didn't teach me how to teach about money. They didn't teach me about calling. They didn't teach me about why work was important, what I could do to be prosperous. I mean, they didn't get taught it either. We all went to church. It didn't teach us anything, except, of course, what to be afraid of. So I thought we would just join this movement and just see what God does. Okay, at the end of the 6 weeks, you say, on the next thing, okay. But at least we're going to give it a shot. Amen? Okay. Here's the first belief. That if God is for us, let's just read what the Bible says. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's Romans 8, 31. Now here's the Foster's translation. If God is for us, who gives a rip? Who's against us? Really? You are going to get hung up because some people don't like you. Get a life. Some people don't like you just because they're messed up. Their agenda, their stuff. They're having a bad day. We take everything so personal. Listen, if God is for me, who's against me? If God is on my side, it's all done. Now it's just the engaging and the living. I mean, what's the worst that can happen to me today? I can die. Okay, well, I'm not for it. I hope you're not for it either. I love my life, man. I get to do what I love with the people I love, where I want to be. Whew, I mean, I'm blessed. But you know what? If I wake up dead in the morning, I wake up in the presence of God. Do I understand what all that's like? No, I do know this. I know it won't be church every Sunday, thank God. And it won't be a bunch of people singing, dressed in polyester singing sadly. It'll be fun. I'm serious. I mean, just be honest. If this life can offer so many good things, do you think heaven can at least equal your best day? Now, it's hard for me to understand that. You've never heard me speak on heaven. When I start speaking on heaven, y'all need to get a new suit and get a new dress because I'm dying soon. Probably. I don't know. I'm for it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to go today. Right? So, if God is for me, who can be against me? Now, the question is, if God is for us, what's going on? Because it's sure to, whoever dreamed you would live. Just a couple of weeks ago, I saw an article that says Apple Computers has more cash in the bank than the United States government. Now that's laughable. Or cry. You can do one or the other. Now our credit rating as a country has been downgraded. Well, whoop-a-dee-doo. Really? What am I supposed to do with this stuff? Right? You and I are going to work, paying our taxes, doing our thing. Lord, what can I do? And we feel helpless, right? And we're not. Listen to me. We are our country. We're it. Yeah. And I will, God being my helper, not whine, not worry, and not wimp out by blaming the government or market forces and all this other crap. Did I say crap? Yes, I did. Crap. Feels good to be home working and say crap. I said it last week and I thought they were going to attack the stage. So let's just be honest about where we are. Okay, where we are. One, we are at a moment of global shift. Now, this is not a recession. I'm not an economist. I'm not educated in that way, but I'm not stupid either. This is not going back, ladies and gentlemen. When the factories are not coming back, the jobs are not coming back like they were. This is a new world. It just is. Now, what hasn't changed are the needs of human beings. People still need things. Their needs haven't changed, but the way they get those needs met have. For example, we live in Nashville. We proudly call it Music City, USA. Amen? We have some of the most gifted, talented, loving, smart people, arts people on the planet, in this room and in this city. Yay, God. I was having a conversation between services with a guy who brought a friend. He says he's been a radio personality in Atlanta, and I was like, wow, this is an accomplished dude. Now he's lost his job because radio has changed. It has, I admit. It's not easy. It's not what any of us would have wished. But you know what? People still love music. Amen? They're going to always love music. We're going to always want to listen to it. We're always going to be inspired by great music. Make more. You say, well, I don't want to make any music because I don't get paid. Well, good. Go home. Shut up. We don't need to hear from you. Anyone who makes music or paints or writes or does anything as a calling understands it ain't about the money. So we live in a moment of global transition, a global shift. This is a new world. You just need to own up to that. That's all you need to do. I acknowledge it. I understand it. And I'm going to stop whining about the way it is. And I'm going to stop seeing that the basic needs of humanity are still there. We're making more people every day, right? More people needing more things. Here's the second thing. And then, again, we need to own up to this. We live in a moment of unequal or unparalleled, at least in our brief time on this planet, of what I call God hostility. Now, this is not new. It's not anything new, but it's there. It's even in the scripture, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? Why do they conspire? Why do the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break the chains and throw off their shackles. God, the one enthroned in heaven, laughs. Really? Right? Is that not humorous? God says, all these people think they're in control. And I'm going, really? You think so? Did you put the sun up there? How about the moon and the stars? Hello? This is my Father's world. But there are a lot of people who hate God. Now, we live in a country, thank God, where you can hate God if you want to. Yay, God! seriously. Who wants God forced on them? I don't. Man, you force God on me and I rebel. I go past a bench and it has wet paint, don't touch. I'm touching that sucker. Why is that? I mean, if you don't put a sign on there, am I going to touch it? No, I'm too busy. I'm going somewhere. You put a sign on it, I'm touching it. Just the minute God says, don't do this, what do? We do that. Now, our parents did it back in the garden. But let's admit, there are people in our country who hate God. And because they hate God and we associate with God, we may get some of their ire directed our way. I don't know. I'm not really worried about it, quite honestly. But let's also be honest that if you refuse to pledge allegiance to one nation under God, then don't be freaked out if God refuses to participate in your economy. Duh. Ding. This is not brain surgery, folks. But we need to acknowledge there are people that are God hostile. I think we need to respond to them. I think we need to be patient with them, compassionate. Because listen, you arguing about God is not going to convince anybody, right? It just didn't. So, but we live in a world where I think a lot of people who call themselves Christians and preachers and speakers and, they want to curse. Do you get these emails with the latest conspiracy about who to blame for the way the world is? I'm just sick of that. Don't send me that crap. Please. I love you. If you love me, don't send it to me. People say, yeah, I know this is special. I don't usually do this, but yes, you do. Don't lie. God is going to kill you dead. Now, there's also a tension. I said a while ago, I love this country. I do. I'm glad to be an American. I'm patriotic. I will flag and all the other stuff. But I'm also a citizen of another country whose builder and maker is God. That's what Abraham, all the way back in the Genesis, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Well, I'm a part of another country, and I am torn. I'll be honest with you. There are some things that our country does that sucks. There are some things going on in our country that suck, that are wrong, that are bad, that are evil. I understand that. I'm not blind. I'm not stupid. Well, I may be stupid, but I'm your kind of stupid. How's that? So I understand that. I'm not saying that God is going to just blithely and glibly and just say, well, there are people who say, God, America's a Christian country. I'll let you fight that out. I just think not so much. This is my little opinion. I'm okay with that. Because I live in a country where Christians have died to give me the freedom to say whatever it is I want to say. Yay, God. Christians have done this. God people have done this. Yay, God. So I'm happy with that. I'm okay with the tension of living in that kind of world. There's a third thing that I think we need, a moment that we need to recognize. And that is, this is a moment not only of global transition, not only of God hostility, but let's be honest. It is also a moment of unprecedented opportunity. You see, here's the truth. This is tweetable. Just want to let you know, because when I say profound things, you don't always recognize it, I've noticed. So this is profound. In every problem lies the seeds of an equal or greater opportunity. That's always been true. For example, have you ever heard these words? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of our hope. It was the winter of our despair. We had everything before us and we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, it was a period just like this one. Now, some of you know that was Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, written over 150 years ago, written then about the beginnings of the French Revolution. Now, has the world changed much? No. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. But it's also a time for great opportunity. for those who know their God, know that God is for them, and that God is not done with this earth. He's not done with America. Yay, God. He's not done with me. He's not done with you. He's still here. He is not like Elvis. He has not thrown us the keys and left the building. He's not in heaven mad as hell. He loves us. He is engaged. He has mercy and pity. He is long-suffering. And he doesn't ask much to get engaged. Now, here's what we must not do. One, we must not, God help us, worry. I'm just worried. Well, praise Jesus. Keep it to yourself. That's one sin you do not have to confess. I'm just worried about this economy. Well, okay, I understand. I do. I do understand that. I'm worried about my job. But what does it do? This is the Bible. God wrote this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? God says, tell me, whine to me, complain to me, fuss at me, tell me about it, and I'll do something. Our problem is, we want to pray and ask God to do what we want done. And we're like little children wouldn't eat a whole pack of Oreos. Oh, I need those, please. God says, shut up. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. You're annoying. Shut up. You don't need the tonnage. I don't need to worry. What worry? I hear people say, well, my mother was a worrier. My father was a worrier. You do not have worry genes. Worry is a choice. You can be concerned. And if you're really concerned about it, if it matters, then tell God about it. By prayer and petition. The word petition is an aggressive idea. It's telling God what you want. Most of us, here's what we do. Let's be honest. We whine to people and we pontificate to God. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, I just love you with all my heart. It's a great world. Everything's wonderful. Just don't bless me. I've just been so blessed, I can't stand it. Bless everybody else. Amen. Praise Jesus. When was the last time you got on your knees and said, God, my life sucks. This sucks. You suck. The world sucks. You're going, whoa, I've done this before. God didn't kill me. I don't think he's going to kill me now. Now, some spiritual people say, you've just taken the Lord's name in vain. No, I'm talking to my papa. I'm talking to a papa like a little spoiled kid that I often am. Now, sometimes I'm amazing. I was amazing about 3 years ago on a Friday afternoon. But not so much lately. I'm just saying to you that our relationship with God, if you are a follower of Jesus, is far more durable, far more indestructible than we might imagine. So if you're worried, if you're seriously all caught up in this anxiety, tell God. Tell him about what in your life is wrong. I mean, he may not do it your way, but he may. He may just say, okay, let him have it. Yeah, you know, like a 4-year-old kid. Can I have? Have you ever just given them something to shut them up? I mean, God does that sometimes. Don't you think? The second thing is, oh, please help me, Jesus, with this one, to not say some bad words. We must not, please, oh, in God's name, before you do this, become an atheist. Please, let's stop whining. Just stop it. Come on. Yeah. Amen. Gee whiz. The Christian whiners in America are giving the rest of us a bad name. Just keep it to yourself. I'm a Christian and I just think Obama's this and those is that and it's the federal government. Shut up. Listen to what Paul said. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living, plenty, or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. He says, you know what? Sometimes I've had more than I needed. Sometimes I've gone hungry. And in the up and in the down, God is good. God is going to give me the strength. God is always at work. Even though God may be silent, He is not still. God is at work in our country, and He's at work in us. That's why when Dave shared this vision, I got excited. If you and I as believers and other churches and other believers across every city in this country decided to step up and say, you know what, we're going to not worry and we're not going to whine. We're not going to cuss the government. We're not going to teach our children that government is evil. It is not evil. Government is a good thing. Read Romans 13. And if you think government is evil, then just rip Romans 13 out of your Bible and see where that gets you. Just saying. Government is a virtuous thing. Politics is a virtuous thing. Business is a virtuous thing. It's just hard. It just is. You know what I think about Obama? I think about Obama what I thought about Bush. I think they're good men trying to do an impossible job. They're going to lose no matter what they do. It just is. I mean, you know what? And I'm not going to add to that. Because you know what? President Obama's not my God. The Republicans are not my God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the government, the economy's not my God. You're not my God. Paula's not my God. Jesus is my everything. I agree. Paula is my everything else. But you know what? No person on this world can meet my needs and make me feel at peace but Jesus. I can do all things through Him. I can love Paula well. I can love my kids well. I can embrace my calling. I can work. I can make my way in this life. I can be prosperous and I can bless people. I can leave a legacy of faith and virtue and honor. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to worry. But here's the third thing. I'm not going to wait either. Wait. We're just waiting on the Lord. Well, let's just get up and do something. Huh? Let's get up off our good intentions and get in the game. Right? What must we do? What can we do? I'm one person. I've heard this 1,000 times. Well, I'm just one person. What can I do? Here's what you can do. Number one, we must intercede for our nation. This is right in the Bible. I didn't make this up. You think I did, but go look it up. When I shut up heaven so there is no rain and command the locusts to devour the land and send a plague. In other words, God says, when people in your country say, God, get out, and I do, and thing goes to hell in the handbasket, here's how you can get me back. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, well, we don't need to humble ourselves. We're a humble bunch of people, don't you think? Praise the Lord. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's not right. That must be a typo. I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will hear their land. You know what? We have far more influence in this country than we want to admit. But it will be through our humility and our prayer and our submission to God and His will, His sovereign will, praying that God would heal our land, heal our families. Dave has a passion for saving America, one great family at a time who knows how to deal with money. Yay, God. That's why you ought to be a part of FPU. Paul and I have a vision to save America, one great marriage at a time, where a man loves a woman well. And they raise great kids. And they leave a winning legacy. You put those two things together, I call it a double punch. Pow, pow. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if we had great marriages and great families and great kids and we had plenty of money, we were prosperous, where we can invest and start things and bless people, we could meet people's needs, and the more we gave, the more we got. Just saying. I know that's not possible, but I'm just saying because this is a sermon. And sermons have nothing to do with life, right? So I'm taking up some time. You can worry, you can whine, you can sit on your butt. Or you can intercede. Show up here September 19th, that's a Monday night, and we're going to put feet on our prayers. We're going to come, what are you going to do on the 19th? We're going to take up three offerings. No, we're not. We're not going to take up any offering at all. We're just going to come and pray. We're going to come and pray. You need a job? Come and pray. Your children need a job? My daughter, I'm glad to say, my youngest daughter, Paige, graduated from university yesterday. Yeah, baby! Yeah! What I was really amazing is watching how many, I think there's like 20 or 30 different families, who they're not the kids, but the families had signs that says, my kid needs a job. I'm sorry. I know that you're excited, but that's stupid. Who's going to, oh, well, you know what? Seriously, your kid needs a job. Well, oh, praise Jesus. I'm glad I was here. Here's one. Really? No. 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 Huh. We're going to engage. We're going to intercede. Engage. We're not going to wait. We're going to do something, right? We're going to get involved. Here's how, this is Jesus' words out of Luke 19. Jesus said there was a man, a certain nobleman, went off to a far country. Now, this is a story. This is Jesus going away. He's leaving us to receive a kingdom for himself. He's going to return, and he says there are 10 servants. He's given all these servants resources, and he's told these servants to use them and to multiply them. But then he says at the end of that, one of the things I want you to do while I'm gone, now we're in a period where Jesus is gone. He's coming back one day. When? I have no idea. But he is. But he says, until I come back in the world you have, occupy till I come. I love that phrase. Occupy. Engage. Get into the marketplace. Now we're to intercede, engage. Now, what are we supposed to do when we intercede and engage? We are to innovate. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Think on these things. Everything that we're enjoying today that's creating our economy are things people thought up. If you know the story of Ramsey, his movement, his national movement, 5 million people every day listen to him on the radio. Where'd that come from? Bankruptcy. From a bad place. Every good, inspiring business, service, and opportunity came out of a dark moment. So some of you say, well, man, praise the Lord, I'm the next success story. Well, wouldn't we all be thanking God if you were? Wouldn't it be great if in 5 years or 4 years or 3 years or 10 years, you were the next Dave Ramsey story or Dave DeVita Ramsey story or your own story? Amen? You wrote your great book and your great novel. Or your song, or created your business. Listen, stop believing there's nothing you can do. That's what we got to start with. If God is for us, who gives a rip who's against us? If God is for us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's my wife's favorite verse. I'm sick of hearing it, but it's still true. She bought a bracelet for Paige yesterday for graduation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I said, bless her heart. Lindsay got one. Aaron got one. Now she's got one. It's all over our house. I'm sick of reading it. But I need to read it because I forget it. Because I let the economy, I let the culture, I let people intimidate me. I'm just saying to you, God wants to bless you. I believe he wants to make each one of us prosperous. Do you believe that? I mean, seriously. I'm just being honest. So that we can be a blessing. So we can show the world what it's like when a man or a woman or a husband or a father or a mother or a wife puts God first and does life God's way. And the very best way you can start your life over today is to humbly bow and say, God, I need you. Always just do that right now. Father, we bow before you. And I'm the pastor, and I've got the podium right now, so let me just pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We have been way too long dependent on the government, on our jobs, on our families, on other good things. And Father, there have been times when we have left you out. We have denied you the honor and the worship that you're due. We have not been content because we thought we needed everything everybody else had on the news or on a advertisement to be happy. We have at times not done the very things we know that are true. We have listened to people rail against you, and we have just recoiled in fear. We have worried, we have whined, and we've waited for you to do what you've said we must do for ourselves. So, Father, we're willing today to be a part of this movement, to say we're just ordinary people, but we are people. We're just one or two or three or four, but we are at least one or two or three or four. And your promises are true. And so, Father, we ask as an act of our will that you be for us. We submit ourselves to you as our God and our Lord, our Savior, as the Master, the one we worship. So we're going to walk out of here today saying to the world, at least under our throat because we're too nice to say it out loud, if God is for me, who gives a rip? Who's against me? In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Go get them.